light and the stars. You know, we have a very interesting experiment taking place at this very moment. We have a crew of, let's see, it's seven, isn't it, in space, in the shuttlecraft at this time. And the name of this particular trip doesn't matter. But, one, you know, sometimes strange things will happen that God touches you through that and causes you to come up with a message. And one of the ladies aboard this craft made this statement yesterday that it was an amazing thing. What they're doing, in case you're not familiar with it, they have a telescope on board, plus they are utilizing the Hubble spacecraft, the telescope, to study, make a study of the stars. And this one woman came out with a new astounding revelation, said, you know, it's a strange thing. Stars are a lot like people. Is it any wonder that God calls the stars that laughed with joy His children, all right, and utilizes that? But she continued on, and she said, they are birthed or born, and then they die. And many of those that are already dead, the very light itself from their life is only now, well, is still, I should say, not only now, it has been for millions of years, but is still, though they do not exist, is still showing as though it were a picture. And I meditated on that a moment, and I thought, Satan, and God has already sentenced Satan to death. And you can see the light as long as it comes, but then when it does go out, there's darkness. Many of you that used to have the old, well, we can still use it. If you hit the switch in your room and there's no other light coming in, it's dark. The light went out. And in a sense, it's like God blotting out, if you would, that light. And when it's gone, it's gone. It is blotted out. So yes, as stars see death, so does mankind. However, this primarily has to do with the second death mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. When they also are blotted out, even as the sentence that is now passed on Satan and those that will fail. However, there is one light that cannot be extinguished, and that is our Father Himself and the Son that He sent. And it is strange, but light in the Greek tongue is phos. Now, many of you old servicemen, you'll remember that you'll know the word white phosphorus, okay? Because you know and you were trained that if you are hit with a white phosphorus grenade or artillery shell and it falls on your arm, you don't try to pour water on it to put it out. You simply turn your arm upside so and let gravity itself, let it burn its way back out because you're not going to put it out. It will burn all the way through. Not a very pretty thing. But so it is with, and we call that mineral phosphorus. And it is strange, but this word in the Greek, by, omega, is phosphorus. All right? And when you see day star, or morning star, or that star that gives light to the breaking of the day, Christ is called the morning star, phosphorus. So many things come from that prime phos. And you know what phos is. You have but your watch glows in the dark, all right? Because it has a material there that sheds or gives off light. Phosphorus, when it burns, I don't know how many of you have seen phosphorus burn, but it is a very bright burning. And there's no putting it out with anything you normally use as long as it's burning. There's only one way it's going to burn out, and that's to burn out of the fuel that is present, the phosphorus itself. God was so good to us, and He realizes how important light is. And oftentimes it's good for us to go back to the basics and remember these things. That what did he give the children when they were wandering in the wilderness? I mean, they had no home. They were like orphans out in a God-forsaken place. And fear would have come upon them quite easily, but here is this pillar of fire that lit their way and protected them as they were under the protection of that light. It was his way of saying, I am here. And yet spiritually, you know that light still, that pillar still burns to this day. I don't care what your troubles are. I don't care how bad they are. You have a champion in him that can overcome your problems. No problem, no step for a stepper. He is a can-do type father, and he gets it done. And there are times that will come upon your life that you'll think the world has come to an end and there's no way I could go on and so forth. And Father reaches down and boxes your little old ears a couple of times, takes care of your problems, and you say, whew, boy, I really did it that time. Never forget who did it. God takes care of his own. But there is that light, and he has given us these symbols for signs and season. There is the zodiac with the 12 that have the Bible message even in the stars. And I'm not talking about cookie cutter fortune tellers. I'm talking about God's Bible in the stars. It's actually there because God created it. And stars are very much like people. They are birthed and they do burn out. And do you know who spoke them into existence? Your Father. That light would be there, and that burning out as an example to you, that if you don't stay within the realm of the fuel of the light, which is His Spirit, you're going to burn out. You're going to be blotted out. And you will cease to exist. How miraculous that God uses such simple terminology and events. There were the seven stars that were the seven angels in the book of Revelation. People. So what does that mean? What do you draw from all that? That's a lot of words. If you're a star, God is calling you phosphorus. That is to say, a child. What is a star supposed to do? Shine. Give off, I repeat, now get this real good, give off light, not absorb all the time. The moon does that. But a star is supposed to give off light. In other words, there is that spark within that soul that is part of that master light that is supposed to reflect from our Father and give off and make a difference in some dark, miserable soul's life, a light that will bring them to the surface and give them hope. The word itself is life. And you can never have light, life, and soul without having salvation present. Life, light of the soul, they always present with those is salvation. And that's what our Father's plan is, through that light, to bring that salvation. Most often when the greats that God chose to bring that light in the Word to us, as an example, Peter, when it was time for their ministry to close, many times they would go back to the basics. And they would simply say, I know you know this, but I'm going to call it to your remembrance anyway. So turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter is doing this very exact thing. And Peter begins in the 13th verse of that first chapter of 2 Peter. And he states, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, yea, I think it meet, or I think it proper, as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I'm in this old flesh body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. In other words, I'm going to move out of this old tent of flesh, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. In other words, the Spirit had already made it known. 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always. How often? Light isn't a part-time thing. Always in remembrance. 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power, I repeat, power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. In other words, we were on that hill, Peter speaking, of the Mount of that place called the Mount of the Transfiguration, when Christ was illuminated with the presence, also with Him, of Moses and Elijah. That illumination, that light, even the clothing itself illuminated to the point that they were much brighter, signifying giving off of light. Do you do that? Can you do that mentally and spiritually without having to have some miracle make you shine like phosphorus in the dark? I think not. You don't need that. You're wiser than that. You see, your light comes from your eye. And that light can brighten a room when you walk into it. It can be a dreary room. And someone with the light in their eyes can walk into that room and it's like somebody turning their brights on a dark night as the people's countenance picks up in that room. You're a star. And I'm not saying that saying you're something super special or a star, maybe like a television star or something like that, okay? We're plain old common people, but the light is Christ in our eye. We feel good. Because we know that we have His wing over us. And whatever happens, hey, we're going to win. We're going to crush our opposition. Because our opposition writes its own sentence and digs its own grave. And all we have to do is let the light shine and watch. Maybe give it a little nudge every once in a while, you know, to help it into the pit. There's nothing wrong with that. All right. That's where your light comes from. We do not listen to the fables of men. Oh, yes, my children, you're going to fly away like a big turkey. You're out of here, friends. That's foolishness. Many people listen to it, and they'd be very upset if they were to hear me say that. But after all, even God has a sense of humor. So let your light shine, and let the truth come forth. Don't. This is your light. This is the Word of God. Philosophers can do, I would have been so great as a philosopher because I could just couldn't take certain things, the way my mind works and operates on nature itself, and just fantasize about great things. What if this had been? I was a great what if kid. What if the sky fell? You know. And so forth. But philosophers change every 50 years. You know why? Oftentimes, science itself changes. Give it about a 50 year and we find new information and they say, let's fine-tune this just a little bit. God's Word does not change. That's the way you recognize truth. It needs no fine-tuning other than that you fine-tune your mind to it. Stop listening to the fables of men. Doesn't hurt to listen to them, but don't believe them. That's the point. All right? 17. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, as God would say. Peter is saying, I heard that voice. It wasn't Him speaking. It was the Father. I heard it. I witnessed it. 18. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount, that mount of transfiguration. 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well. That means that you take heed. That is to say, you pay attention as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. He's talking here about the second advent, or at whatever time in your mind that you recognize that light and are drawn to it, which simply means drawn to Christ, the Savior, through the light that gives eternal life. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is for any private interpretation. In other words, read it the way it is in the original language. Absorb it. It is for one body, and that is to say the body of Christ. And no entities are separated from that, for we are all one family, even as in this marriage this past evening, we joined two into one flesh, or God did, that is to say. We are one body in that sense, in a spiritual marriage that will be fulfilled at that event when Christ returns at the second advent. 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Man didn't have anything to do with it in his fables. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Not man's word, and God never changes. It's always the same. Now, let's go back to the beginning. Turn with me to John chapter 1. Book of John in the New Testament. That great apostle, disciple, and some of the straightest talk that God ever came forth with is in this first chapter of St. John. And it begins to read in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. In other words, it preexisted anything other than the very beginning itself. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you know who that was? The Logos. It was Christ. Christ is the living Word. He was with God in the very beginning, and they were welded with that Holy Spirit. What Spirit? What? When God said, and using that polysyndeton in Genesis chapter 1, moved, the Spirit moved upon the waters. What do you think that Spirit was? It was the actions of Christ moving, causing these things to come to pass. 3. All things were made by Him. I'm sorry. The same was in the beginning with God. 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Even your soul, my friend. Even your soul. Whose child are you? How do you explain the deeper things that we even find physical traces of on this earth today? Except you know the Word that was in the beginning. What's 10 million years? Because when was the beginning? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. Billions of years ago. 4. In Him was life. Do you want to live? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The phos. The prime root. For all light, based not that's not really a true statement, but most in the Greek, most, that is the foundation or the prime for light. 5. And the light, phos, shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And here you have, this is that Greek word, phos. It shined in the darkness, and the darkness didn't understand. But do you know something, my dear friend? When you walk into a room, and the faces are long, the countenances are troubled, and you give a word of wisdom, and the light of your eye lights up that room, even those that can't understand feel the goodness of that light. of that Spirit. It even helps them, though they understand not. 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now that's not Saint John. This is John the Baptist he's speaking of. Okay? 7. The same came for a witness. Came for what? A witness. To bear witness of what? Of the light. That all men through him might believe. And old John down by the River Jordan preaching, "Repent!" And they came by droves to repent of their sins and prepare themselves to receive the light of the world, which is to say, he that preexisted even in the beginning. He was not that light. John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. God always warns us, does He not? He really does. Christ Himself would say in Mark 13, "I will do nothing that you have not been forewarned or foretold, as it is written." 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There is no other light. Every man that comes into this world must look to that light, for there is no other way of salvation. There, quite frankly, there is no other way to have peace of mind in this earth age. Oh, you can get by if you're one of those people that have that attitude. Oh, just as long as I get by. Gosh, that's a drag. That is really a drag. Nobody is really happy around somebody that just wants to get by best I can. Don't ever count on them for anything, because all they want to do is get by. So don't think that if you need help, and it takes some one of your associates to stand with you to say, "I witnessed that." Forget it, honey. They ain't standing. They ain't doing nothing for you, because they just want to get by. All right? You make a difference because you're a star of God. You light a room. You lead a way. People feel good when they feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in their midst. People appreciate knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, because it, as it is written in the book of Isaiah, wisdom and knowledge is the stability that you stand on. In other words, if you want to be stable and not tossed to and fro, get wisdom and get knowledge from God's Word, not fables of men, not men's words. Verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not." Boy, think about that. How would you like to go out and take all your best understanding and build a beautiful house? It's all yours, but some strangers move in. They don't even say thank you. They just take over. That's what happened. God built this world and sent His own children, and they treated Him like a stranger when it was His house. Think about it. Do you understand why He loves you so much when you do make a stand? Do you understand why He loves you so much when you say, "Father, I love You. I appreciate Your house. I appreciate Your light. I appreciate Your truth. Let it settle into my mind and let me serve You." That makes His day. He is that fuss. He is that light. And oh, what a gift it is to have that light shine through you. Does it make you something special? No. It makes the light special, because it is the power God that brings it forth. But always remember this. Light must originate from a fuel or draw from a reflection. Do you mean to say that again? Light must originate from a fuel, oxygen, heat combination, or you don't have any light. Otherwise, it's got to be a reflection. And when you have Christ in you, He is such a light that you can't hold Him in. if you're not trying to, you know, con, that light comes out. You see, it's Him in you that touches the hearts and the souls and the minds of people. My friends, how they need it today. You'd be surprised how many letters that we get. And it's the Word that does it. So Dennis just gave a test. I have to really hold my mind, because there were people that were 50, 60, 70, 80 that almost flunked that test. As a teacher, I have to wrestle with myself to keep from thinking bad thoughts about people, and then to realize it's the teacher's fault, not the people. And I thank God daily that we have been given a platform by Him, that we can teach His Word, not man's, and that people are starving for truth. And those same people write letters of praise for the Word, not the staff, though they love the staff and myself, but for the Word of God being taught, not the traditions of men. Letting that light shine forth, it cannot be stopped. It cannot be bargained with. Once that shining starts, and the day star, the phosphorus, is soon returning, there is no quenching it. And when He touches them, it's like white phosphorus. You better make a move if you're going to try to get rid of Him, because it will have to burn itself out. It will not be diminished. It will not be shut out. Truth is a beautiful thing. What a time that we live in. Is this a new thing? Be careful when you ask if something of God is a new thing, for you've read the book of Ecclesiastes. There is nothing new under the sun. Our Father is the same always. It's just we that kind of mature and grow up and say, isn't this a different world? No, it's the same old place. And we still have the same light. It's you that changes. But let's go back, if we may, all the way to Numbers. That's back in the Pentateuch, the Old Testament. In the first five books, the book of Numbers. And let's go to the 24th chapter. Verse 17. There was a preacher sure having trouble about taking money about this time and so forth, but God still uses whomever He will. I'm just bringing you up to speed on what was happening here. Balaam and Balak and Balaam's ass. You remember he had the dumb animal finally had to say, "Hey, Jake, there's an angel of God standing there. You want me to run over him? No way." You know, and Balaam beat his ass because of it, you know. That's really spiritually in tune, isn't it? No, he had money on his mind. Verse 17, different subject for a story for a different time. Let's pick up on the Word from God. 17, Numbers 24, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh." Why? It wasn't time. And this lets you know there was a first and a second advent. "There shall come a star." There's that word, phosphorus, a star. However, this doesn't happen to be the Greek word phosphorus. This is Hebrew. "Out of Jacob, and a scepter." Do you know what a scepter is? That's a king's scepter. "Shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite thee or all corners of Moab." That's to say, of his own father. It's according to which father you're of, friend. "And destroy all the children of Seth." Seth means confusion or tumult. Now, write in confusion there and scratch the word Seth out, because God doesn't have any hatred for Seth, or it would be his own children. All right? It's a mistranslation. I'm sorry. That star was predicted before, even at the beginning, in God's perfect plan after the overthrow. What's he going to do? Verse 18, "And Edom," that's Russia, shall be a possession. Seir, that's Esau's little crag where some of the Kenites hide out. Also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Are you going to? Do you have the light? Do you have that star? Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. Then we go to another son of Esau. And when he looked on Amalek, and you want to look at the old boy up in Russia right now that talks crazy a little bit about, they stole Alaska from us, we're going to take it back. Amalek, that's him. I'm not as an individual, but that's his forefathers, ancestors. He took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. Because there's only going to be one king. Not nations, plural, my friend. One king. King of kings, Lord of lords. One government, the government of God. And he looked on the Kenites and took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place. And boy is it, you can't blast them out with dynamite. And thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenite shall be wasted when Asher shall carry thee away captive. He even tells you when the Kenite's going to be wasted. Asher is who? The Assyrian type of Antichrist. He that is a type of the spurious Messiah. In other words, when Satan's rule as spurious Messiah is over, the Kenite will be disbanded as ever, any kind of a power. Well, there's the end of the millennium. That's only a short season, and Satan's got to do it all by himself. The Kenites can rejoin him or anyone else. That's their choice. But then, if they should, their light is going to be turned off. Their light is going to be blotted out. It will be as they had never been. If you're in a room and you turn the light on, the room is lighted. And you look at the room, not necessarily the light. And when the light is turned off, you don't remember the light. You see a picture of what was in that room. The light is gone. It's blotted out. Okay? So are the souls that walk into the pit or the lake of fire at the end of this earth age. We could go on and on with this subject in the book of St. John, chapter 3, and St. John, chapter 5, St. John, chapter 12, where Christ would say, I am the light of this world. Chapter 12, enjoy that light as long as it is with you and shining. And that light is, of course, His Word, His truth. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a wonderful thing, and it is an analogy that all you have to do is go into a dark room, a bathroom or something that has a light switch, and get the message. You can be in darkness. Your family can be in darkness. Or you can be in light by switching it on, by searching out the light of the world, for there's only one. And then that light is as the leaven in a loaf of bread. It goes through the whole thing. Your light as it shines. I think there's a song about that, isn't it? Let your little light shine or something like that. Or, you know, maybe I should have spoken out beforehand and had that. I don't know, but you're going to let it shine anyway, right? You promise me? Okay, good. If you don't, the two before. Okay, no, I'm kidding. Hey, it's your own business. Whatever you do whatever you want to with your life. Even the enemy writes their own sentence. If they promise something evil against you, do you know what God's going to do to them? Same thing. Only they're going to get it a lot quicker than you do most often. Now, let's get back into the message here. Let's go to the end. Let's go to the very last chapter in the Bible. Chapter 22. That great, great book of Revelation. I am the light. Don't ever forget it when Christ spoke those words. What a beautiful study to go throughout the Gospels that pertain to that light. We come to chapter 22 in the book of Revelations, and I will get there. It really should be easy to find. It's just that my Bible's getting so old, the pages are like hotcakes. You kind of have to flip them easy. The tree of life is open to us, not shut as it was in the Garden of Eden, as you will notice in verse 2 of this 22nd chapter. John is just about to be returned to that place on Patmos. But we pick it up in the 5th verse and listen carefully. Let's go with the 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now, what's in your forehead? Your brain. In other words, his name, Yeshua, is going to be, which, and he is what? He's the Word. It's going to be imbued in your forehead. That's quite a promise. 5. I wonder how that happens. 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. We're not talking about some little short-range thing. Now, we just had a new word there. I know it said, God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And the word is light in the English, but that's not what it is in the Greek. God just said, it's going to be in your forehead. And that little word light there has a great deal to do with it. It is this word. P-H-O-T-I-Z-O. And we pronounce that photizo. Photo. You're familiar with that word, aren't you? Photo. Photozid. It's a photograph. Well, that's where the word photograph comes from. What's he going to do to your mind? Have you ever heard of someone that has a photographic memory? Do you think that's something new under the sun? Have you ever wondered why the Scripture says that in the millennium no one will have to tell his neighbor, do you know the word? Uh-uh. Okay. So we have a new word there. Photezid. Okay. Which we get our word, photograph. Now, to get a photograph, what do you do? I mentioned a moment ago, you walk in a room, you turn a light on, you see the room, you turn the light off. You still see it in a way in your mind if you have the power of concentration. More so than that, you can walk in a room and turn a light on and spot an object, turn the light off, and walk directly to it and pick it up in the dark. Boy, could I do something with that. But even in Satan's country, we can find what we want, okay? Why? It makes a photograph in your mind that you can actually walk the distance by that photograph that is left in your mind, that is imbued there. And that's what God's Word will do for you also. But what do you need to take a photograph? I mean, if you've ever been down to my studio where they use a lot of cameras and you see me squinting, light, lots of light, too much light, hot lights, okay? But you've got to have what? Light. To make the imprint. And you have to have the Word of God, the light of the world, to lighten your mind to truth, whereby you attain peace of mind. Oh, how simple the Word of God, in the almost childish ways as we being His children, His stars, so to speak. Make sure that as His star, you're not one that was a third of the stars that Satan's tail drew with him. That's to say, a third of God's children. As it is written in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. I'm sorry, verse 4. Chapter 12, verse 4. That's a very special word to me. What is it? God imbues in our mind at that time. You don't need the light because He's going to give it to you in your mind. A photograph of it that you can recall and see and understand most of all. You see, there is a real neat Greek word that says to see. And it doesn't mean to see with the eyeball like we do, but to see with understanding. That you can understand what you see. You can see through it, into it, around it, about it. And even plan what to do with it at the same time, most successfully. To see. That's what the light of the world will do for you, beloved. Is to let you see many times. And I want to tell you something. When you think that you have studied, I've studied for about 40 years. And if there's any one thing you learn with maturity, is that you don't know everything. Don't ever, ever get to a point that you think, I can stop studying now. I know it all. I want to tell you what I want you to do for me. I want you to find you a 15-watt light bulb someday. If you have that problem, do this. Get you a 15-watt light bulb. I don't even know. Yeah, I guess they make such a thing. Yeah. And then get you one of these big three-tiered babies, you know, that'll really brighten the room. You screw that 15-watt in, and that's you. When you think you've got all the light there is, screw in the 15-watt, and you might be just part of it's already burning out and filtering because you're sick in your head when you think you know all there is to know about light. Then screw in the big baby, but watch your eyes, all right? Because there's still that much light to absorb. But what a treasure and a beauty it is as we grow and mature and absorb that light within and learn what a star is supposed to do. Give off light. Do it if you want to be blessed. For the blessings of God is not the receiving but the giving of that light. Because you can never use it up. You don't have to hoard it. You don't have to put it under a bushel. I don't care what you look like. You don't have to put a bushel basket over your head. All right? Just shine forth and be proud of it. I think I'd better stop here. This is a good time for an Irishman to quit. But, beloved, He loves you. You love His children. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for Your truth, for Your word. Thank You for being with us, Father. We ask in Yeshua's name that You let that light shine forth from these that have absorbed that light from Your word. Thank You for them, Father. It is such a pleasure serving You. We ask these blessings in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.